Today, I want us to focus on, to reflect on Jesus' words in the gospel reading. Every week, when I prepare to share something with you in the morning, every preacher worth his salt will do readings and reflecting. You reflect on the passages, and then you reflect on other theologians and thinkers who have also read and prayed through the passage. And I try to read across the board the Christian families. I read Catholic writers, Presbyterian writers, Baptist, even Anglican. They're available. And they always share maybe a different or unique perspective. But what I found, funny, was that very uniquely, they all had the same thing to say about this passage. And they all agreed that this was clearly Jesus' most difficult parable. Because it's really challenging. Jesus gives a parable, a story of a rich man, a master, who has, he's a very wealthy man, and he has a financial manager. And the financial manager hasn't been doing well with the money, so the master, he fires him. In that moment, the manager says, "Well, I'm fired. I don't have a job. I can't do manual labor. I'm too proud to beg. I got to figure out my life." And so he calls in people who owe the master money. "How much do you owe them?" "Oh, I owe them $50,000. Cut them in half, $25,000. Don't worry about it." And he starts cutting the debts in half, thinking, "Well, if I do this, I'll build a relationship with them. And when I have nothing, I can live in their homes." That's the story, right? The weird part is that the master, when he finds out what the manager has been doing, gives him a thumbs up. "Oh, that was pretty smart. Good job of being shrewd." And if that weren't weird enough, Jesus uses the story to tell us, disciples, followers of Jesus, to say, "Hey, you should be like this manager. He's shrewd." That's weird. Is Jesus really telling us to practice thievery? I got stuck this week. But I think it was really helpful to get stuck. I think Jesus wanted us to be stuck. Because when you hear what Jesus is saying, and you hear it enough over many Sundays over the years, it becomes like background noise. "Oh, yeah, I know what Jesus said. Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then you don't really hear what he said. You just think you know what he said, and you move on with your life. So Jesus said something so scandalous so that you have to stop. Right? You're in the reeds. And now you have to carefully move everything aside to really hear what Jesus is saying. So that's what we have to do today. And he gives us a hint at the very end. In verse 13, he says, "No one can serve two masters." Right? "You will either hate one or love the other. You will be devoted to one or despise the other." And then here's the key. "You cannot serve both God and money." Now, if you're a churchgoer, you might feel nervous right now because you think this is a stewardship sermon. I'm going to talk about money. And we're going to land on that. But that's not the point. Not really. What Jesus is saying here to us, you have to decide. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be shrewd of what kind of life you're actually leading. What life are you leading? Because you can't serve God and you can't serve money. And yet, for many of us, both are part of our life, right? You get paid, you have your salary, you have your responsibilities, your bills, and you start to make an account of how you're spending. That's one part of your life. The other part you might consider is your spirituality, your faith. What do I think about God? What do I think about ultimate meaning? Do I even care? You have these two strands. And in typical modern Western fashion, we make it work. Put it together in a hodgepodge. "Yeah, I got a sense of how I spend my money. Yeah, I have my thoughts about God. It's all very comfortable for me. And I'm good." And Jesus shows up and says, "No, it's not. It's not good. It's possible you made some compromises. You put it together in a way that I didn't intend for you to put it together. And if you're following me, you have to decide, what do I do with money? What do I do with Jesus?" Because Jesus knew back then, as true as 2,000 years ago, it's true today, that money is a big part of our lives. And it's a sensitive part of our lives, actually. I'll tell you what I mean. It's sensitive. If you take part in social media, all platforms now, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, they all have what you can call them reels, right? There's these little like 10, 20 second videos. They have some joke or some interesting facts, and they're meant to get you swallowed in. You keep flipping to new videos every 10, 20 seconds. It's addictive. So this is partly confession. I went down a reel hole the other day. I commented, oh my goodness, I've been here for like 10 minutes just scrolling. And I was so drawn into this one channel, this one feed. And this is what the video, they're like 10, 20 second videos. This is what they did. I'll tell you what it was. A young man shows up at a university campus or maybe a downtown, a professional city. He has a little microphone. He walks up to a stranger and he says, hey, what's your name? They're caught off guard. It's, oh, my name is so-and-so. Okay, what do you do? Oh, this is my career. Okay, how much do you make? And then they say, oh, I make $150. Right? And that's it. And then you keep scrolling. It's more of that. He shows up, a different person. What's your name? What do you make? And then I caught myself and I was thinking about it this week. The state of my mind. I thought, that's such a boring platform. Just to go up to a person, your name. What do you do? Third question. What's your shoe size? Who cares? But the money was interesting. Because it's a sensitive topic in our culture. You can't just go up, even your closest friends, I think you would hesitate. Yo, bro, how much do you make? It'd be weird. They'd be caught off guard. What? I've been in conversations where you've shared the deepest intimacies of your life, of your marriage, but you ask the money question. Whoa, hey, let's not get too personal. Right? Because the narrative in our culture is something like this. Be promiscuous with your body. Do whatever you want. Engage in whatever sexuality you want. But be careful with your money. Ooh. Right? Be promiscuous with your body. Be careful with your money. And here's Jesus showing up. And what did he say? He reverses it. He says, be promiscuous with your money. Be careful with your body. Be careful with your sexuality. Be careful how you treat yourself. Because you're a temple. You're made in my image. Your money, it's a thing. Use it. Be promiscuous. Be generous. Give it. Right? That's a competing narrative. One narrative, careful with your money, promiscuous with your body, do whatever you want. Jesus says, no. Careful with your body, careful with your mind, careful with your heart. Yeah, be generous with your money. Competing narratives. And Jesus is saying, which one are you going to follow? That's what he's saying in this message. And what we're meant to understand with the story of the shrewd manager. Jesus says, for people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. What he's saying is that Jesus is not endorsing thievery in the story. That's not, I know that's where we get lost. It feels like Jesus is saying, whoa, you telling me to steal? But if you were here a couple of Sundays ago, you remember that we read a story where Jesus said, if you love me, daughters will hate their mothers, sons their fathers. You're going to follow me, hate everything else. And of course, we learned that Sunday that Jesus wasn't advocating hating people. He was saying, to love me, you should love me so much that your love for your family should look like it in comparison to how much you're devoted to me. He wasn't saying love, hate your family. In fact, if you follow Jesus, you'll have way more resources to love your spouse, your siblings, your parents, your friends, for sure. Because Jesus is an ancient Semitic prophet, and they use hyperbole to make a point. And so he gives you the story of this thieving manager. We're not meant to learn to steal. What he's saying is that manager, when he was caught in the bind and his life was in trouble, he was thoughtful about how he had to live his life. He was honest with himself. He took an account of who he actually was. Wait a minute. I actually can do manual labor. I'm terrible at working in a construction site. He understood himself. He was probably physically feeble. And I'm too proud to beg. Yeah, maybe some people will loan me cash, but I just can't do it. I'm too proud. He understood himself. His psychology, he understood it. And then he made a decision. Well, I got to act. Given my circumstances, I have to act as shrewdly as possible. I'm going to start cutting debts. I still have some power. I'm going to make choices that help me And noticeably, his choices were relational. And then it built some friendships. Right? Now, in that situation, that's a money bind. That's money. He's stuck in money. Now, I don't want to be too heavy-handed here. I'll let Jesus do that. Jesus says, money doesn't matter. It's not the thing that you should devote your life to. Money's not the thing that should hold your heart, what you care about. Money isn't the thing that you should be aiming your life for. And then when you have it, it shouldn't be your security or your foundation. It shouldn't be. Jesus over and over again talks about that. More than sexuality, more than heaven or hell, Jesus talks about money. How it grips your heart and your soul and you're trapped and you don't know that you're a slave. But everything you do is dominated to how much is this going to cost, how much you're going to spend it. And you become a slave. Money's a slave maker. And Jesus saying, even in this crazy scheme that you care about money, when there's a problem, people think about it. They stop and they take into account who they are and they make a choice that helps them. How much more you, who are aware of what actually matters, spiritual reality, God, how much more you, shouldn't you be acting shrewdly about your faith, about your spirituality? Shouldn't you be acting shrewdly and thinking through, actually thinking through, wait a minute, do I actually trust God? You know, I go to church and I say I follow Jesus, but do I actually live my life in accordance to what he says? Or do I equivocate? Do I decide, well, that part's not really historical, so I ignore that. Well, that part doesn't really count, doesn't make sense to me in the modern age. Are we acting shrewdly and taking Jesus seriously or not? Because Jesus is clear, you can't serve God and money. And the reason why Jesus overwhelmingly talks about money is the thing that traps us. It's the thing that enslaves us. And the way that you know that you're following Jesus genuinely, honestly, you want to know how? Take stock of your giving, your charitable giving. How much do you give to the church? How much do you give to organizations that are doing good in the community? How are you spending your money? That's the easiest way, right? If you were broke at the end of the month, wouldn't you, well, let's pull up bank statements. What am I, well, that's like 10 trips to fast food. I shouldn't have done that. Now I understand why I'm not doing well. Oh, I overspent there at Canadian Tire. Now I know why I'm in trouble, right? You take stock. So in the same way, you say you're a Christian. I'm talking to Christians right now. If you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here. You take a break. I'm going to talk to the Christians right now. You say you follow Jesus. Pull out your bank statement, right? What are you giving? I'm not making this up. Jesus says it overwhelmingly in the Old Testament. You know that massive part of the Bible that to Jesus was the only Bible. It makes it clear. You follow God, 10%. You give 10%, you know, if you're a farmer, if you're a crop, if you're a shepherd, 10% of your livestock. And it had to be the best livestock. It couldn't be the sickly one, right? Or your herbs. It details it in lists. Human. Mint, 10%, you give it to God. Now, if you've read the Bible, you could say to me at this point, you could be pretty smart. You could say, well, Seth, it's very interesting at 10% because in the New Testament, Jesus doesn't mention any percent. And none of the New Testament writers talk about any percent. And I'd have to say you're right. But I want you to think about this. Jesus, the New Testament, takes the Old Testament rules and morality, and Jesus intensifies it. Right? Jesus says, he's teaching to his people, he says, Moses, you know, the great prophet from the Old Testament, the pinnacle, he says, Moses said to you that if you kill a man, you commit a murder. And Jesus says, but I say to you that if you hate someone in your heart and your mind, you're guilty of murder. Right? Jesus says, Moses said to you that if you sleep with someone who isn't your spouse, you've committed fornication. But I, Jesus, say to you that if you look at someone with lust in your mind and your heart, you've fornicated. Intensified. So I say to you, yeah, there's no binding 10%. It's probably more. It's more. That's the part that I don't like. I'll be honest with you. I'm telling you this, but I had to think about that. I had to write this week. I hate it. I don't make a lot. 10% is quite a bit. You have two kids, third on the way. I don't think anyone likes to hear that. But I know in my heart, in my life, when I don't like that part, when Jesus says, you can't serve God or money, I have to stop. I'm in the reeds. What's that weird story you're talking? I don't like that story. Because you're either, in my heart, so your heart, all our hearts are being revealed. Jesus is pointing out, God or money, there's these two narratives we have in the world. Two narratives. I'll be clear right now. I want you to know this. One says, I've worked really hard for what I have. I earned it. I worked really hard. So if I give some of my extra, sure, that's my choice, but that's not an obligation. That's just me being extra good. That's one narrative. The other narrative says, well, now that I think about it, everything I have is a gift from the Creator. Everything. I earned it. It's a gift. Jesus says, choose which life you're going to be. They're not equal choices. One leads to destruction. We heard that in all the first reading. We heard all the destruction, city destroyed, judgment. One leads to death. Only one leads to life. But Jesus is not a tyrant. He's not going to force you to follow him. He's just going to ask you what you want. It's up to you. Free choice. I had this good friend through high school and graduated high school, and he became a Christian for a season. And I remember having conversations with him. As I had become a Christian and I was growing my faith, I noticed that he was letting go of his faith. We're like 20 years old. It's a while back. But I remember so clearly this conversation I had with him. We'd gone to some church, we heard the preacher say something, I don't remember what he said, but it triggered us and went to his place and was talking about this. And he said, I don't know why I would have to, why do I have to give anything to anyone? I worked really hard. Everything I have, I've worked for it. I've earned it. And you know what? He's right. I didn't have a good life. I didn't have a good upbringing. It was really hard. And you know what? His was too. That's why we became friends. We just understood each other. You know, he got really good marks in high school. He went to really good school. He got a good job as an engineer. He worked really hard. I saw it. When we were all partying, he didn't sometimes. You know, he's putting the hours in. He was the first of all of us to buy a house. You know, he just did really well. And so when we went to church, I'm like, I don't care, I don't have anything. But he did. And when he said that, I don't know why I should give it. I've worked really hard. I've earned it. Why should I give anything? And I sat there. I was like, I don't know. Maybe we should trust Jesus. But I didn't know what to say. I didn't. I let it pass. If I could talk to him now, I guess what I want to say to him is what I said to myself. You worked really hard, I worked really hard. I guess we worked really hard to be born in North America. I guess we worked really hard to be born in Canada, United States, to have all these privileges. Yeah, I worked really hard for that. I worked really hard to be given the English language, to have to speak English. Did you guys work really hard to learn English? No, it's just given to you. For those of us born in North America and Canada, did you work really hard to choose to be born in Canada? No. That's a gift. You didn't choose that. If you have good health right now, are you choosing that? Is it your choice not to have cancer right now? No. In fact, when you start thinking about your life as a human being, so much good that we have, so much. Even if you work really hard, you still have to have health, a mind that works, cognitive abilities. That's not up to you. That's a gift. And Jesus is reminding us, all humanity, you have to remember who you actually are. You're a human being. You've been given so many gifts. Also suffering, sure, that's part of the package. And Jesus didn't dodge suffering. In fact, they killed him. So he didn't dodge it. He saw his friends die. His best friend Lazarus. He wept over the death of his best friend. Jesus also lived by 33, accused by the government. Sentenced to be murdered. All his friends abandoned him. Family, friends, no one was there. He also experienced abandonment. Yeah, he suffered. The humans suffer. But you also have goods. You have to decide what life do you have. Is my life, I just earned it? I tell you right now, that if you say that, you're being either accidentally or deliberately blind to so much good that's been given to you. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. But in case you didn't know, now you're here. You can't dodge it. Life's a gift. It's a gift. And once you think about everything in your life as a gift, my wife, my family, the money that I make, right? Once you really understand what it actually is a gift, it's so much easier to let go and be generous. Suddenly, when you see the 10% rule or more than that, you're like, oh, I don't like that. Suddenly, you begin to, yeah, okay, I can give that. My life's not dominated by money. My life's not dominated by stuff. Money, stuff, career, health, you name it, everything disappears. Everything. For those of you who are older than me, you know that. I barely know that. I hear about it, but you know that. Youth fades. Your mental ability can fade. Your career, one wrong accusation, your reputation is gone. The only thing that lasts is Jesus, the love of Jesus. And so you are invited to act shrewdly. Think about it. What am I devoting my time to? What am I devoting my attention to? What's got my heart? Is it my career? Is it my family? My reputation, my pleasure? You have to think about it. Take into account who you are. And if you're going to act shrewdly, Jesus says, the most shrewd thing you can do is bring all that and bring that to Jesus. You can be as honest as you want. Jesus, I don't know if I can trust you. I feel nervous. A bunch of things that you say, I'm not sure if I can accept. But I've heard, when I read your Bible, that you love me. Oh, you love me. Because he does. Because while you were indifferent to God, while you hated God, Jesus came into this world. He saw us in our brokenness. He saw us in our shame. God didn't destroy this world. Actually, God entered this world. And Jesus gave his life on the cross. And said, if you just look to me, if you just trust me, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. Just want to trust me. 1 John 3:20 says, just to want to trust Jesus is purifying. You're putting your soul in the hands of the one who never dies. No one can compel God to let you go. The most shrewd decision you can make today, trust Jesus. Or even, I want to trust Jesus. I want to trust Jesus. It's okay. Start there. Jesus is the only one who lives forever and never fails. So trust him. As an application, we talk about money today. That's not the be-all and end-all of church life, right? But because in our culture we recoil from talking about money, today we are actually talking about money. I'll just say this. On our website, we've had it for about 2 years, there's a sheet that gives you a sense of how you could be giving. One column has, you know, salary level. The other column says 2, 4, 6, 10%. You choose. I print out the sheets at the back table. I encourage you to prayerfully think about that. Don't talk to me. I mean, you can if you want to. You don't have to tell me. It's not confession time. But in your prayer time, we're going to go to the Lord's table right now. We're going to have communion. Bring that to Jesus. Ask him, God, does money have more, does money have more control about me than I wish it did? Am I blind to the power of money in my life? And if you ask God, if you ask Jesus that question in earnestness, genuine faith, he will let you know. He will. Anything you ask God in honesty of faith, he will tell you. I encourage you to bring that to the table as you receive the bread. Pray for that. And take the sheet home. If you're married, talk to your partner. Pray about that. And then give. It's the best thing you can do for your life. It's the best thing you can do for your soul. Trust Jesus, not money. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you in the spirit of thanks. We thank you, God, that when you saw us, you didn't think about profit, how much you would make off of us. You just saw us and you loved us. And you gave up everything. When you came to us in Jesus, you gave up your majesty, you gave up your eternal life, your power, and you became a human just like us. And even then, you gave up your life. God, I pray that you help us live our lives in the light of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Where we're holding something too tightly, let us release our hands. Where there's something like money or anything else that we're trusting more than you, I pray that you remove that trust. Help us to place into you, the one who loves us so much and never fails. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.